Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, my beautiful listeners. This is Jude Albright, your host. And I'm so glad that you're joining me for Love Your Addiction. Everything on this planet has a life. And that means that addictions have a life of their own, too. So what if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about what you are refusing to be, what you are denying yourself? Think about that one for a minute. Love Your Addiction provides a dialogue between you, the listener, and me, Jude Albright, your host. Its purpose is to expose truths so that you can see, hear, and feel how to love your addiction for what it has shown you about you. I welcome you here today to see love in a very different light. I'm here to help you recover from the belief that there's something wrong with you, that your addiction has been bad. I'm also wondering, how much of your life have you spent thinking about your wrongness? You know, when you love something and you appreciate it, you bring gratitude into your life. And when you're grateful, you become more loving. When you accept your addiction and give it love, you are so much better able to see what it has been trying to show you about you. Not about somebody else, about you. And with loving comes acceptance of yourself and what you've been through. And here's an awareness for you. Love never, ever hurts. The hurt is your fear that's coming up. So please forget about what our movies and songs and TV shows program you to feel about love. Today we are going to be looking at Allow the Pain. Now, I know when you hear the title, Allow the Pain, the following words probably come to your mind. What? Are you crazy? I don't want pain. Well, what if we, as a society, have been taught to turn from our pain, to run away from it, to not look at what it's attempting to show us, and try to sedate it with addictions and antidepressants? Could there be another way, by allowing the pain? Well, please join us for a discussion. I'm unable today to connect to the chat room. So if you have some insight or some questions, please call us at 516-453-9181. 516-453-9181. We're all in this together, and I'm sure that each of you desires peace, joy, love, and abundance in your life, just like I do. So let's get each other there. I'm not out to try to change anybody. Only you can change you. I am simply the messenger of truths for you, which can bring you new possibilities for a life of ease, joy, and fulfillment. Now, notice that I said, allow the pain. Allow does not mean we have to like it. Allow means to let it happen. Now, why would I say something like that? Primarily, I am talking about emotional pain. And emotional pain, excuse me, is really an open wound. And open wounds hurt. Today on this planet, we have wounded, open wounded little boys and girls running countries, schools, churches, and organizations. And they're all looking for approval. Pain can be scary, but it's a reminder. And pain, when looked at as an open wound, when dealt with, becomes a scar. And scars no longer hurt. They're there as reminders, but they no longer hurt. Now let's look for a minute at how this all begins. I know that we're all looking for safety and for love. And as little children, when our parents say to us, "Don't cry, oh, it's not that bad, there's nothing to be afraid of," what they're doing is teaching us to deny our feelings. We cry for a reason, because there's pain. There is some sort of emotional or even physical pain. When we think something is really bad, that is an emotional pain. And when we're afraid, it's a huge pain. Now, if our parents, when we're feeling distress and fear and disharmony, if they simply said to us, "I love you, you can relax now, it's safe to be you, I'm here to protect you always, I know exactly what to do and how to do it." If they would say something like that, which is truly parental wisdom, even if they didn't really believe that they knew what to do and how to do it, we would trust them. We would feel safe. And so we wouldn't have those wounds created. But what usually happens is the kid says, "I'm really upset." And the traditional adult response is, "Don't be upset. There's no reason to be upset." Well, I'm wondering, where does it hurt when someone negates your feelings? And the child who really is upset learns to deny real feelings as they are happening. Now, rather than saying, "Don't be upset, there's no reason to be upset," what if the parent validated the child and said, "What's upsetting you? How do you know when to be upset? Could you show me what you do to get upset? Do you picture something in your mind, or maybe you say something to yourself?" "When I get upset, crying helps me to feel better." "What would you need to do to not be upset anymore? And how can I help you to feel better?" All of those are extremely validating, and they are teaching the child that those feelings are really happening. It erases any wound that could be occurring. And let me give you another example. Let's say the child says, "I'm afraid of the dark." And a typical parent response would be, "That's silly. See, there's nothing here. You shouldn't be afraid." Well, again, I'm going to ask you, how do you feel when someone discounts your feelings? The child, again, is learning to deny what he or she is really feeling. Now, if the parent were to validate and not create wounds, a parent might say, "What about the dark frightens you, honey? What are you most afraid of? How do you know when to be afraid? Can I help you change that scary picture that you have in your mind into a funny one?" A parent might also say, "Well, I understand that you're afraid. How can I help you to feel safe? It's my job to keep you safe. And one more reaction that would be very validating could be from the parent. Can you remember a time when you did feel safe? Can you step into that memory and feel that safety now? Then the parent is helping to help the child validate his or her feelings. I'm wondering, how would a loving parent act? Have you ever asked yourself, as the parent that you are, how can I be more loving? Or how can I change this situation? Or what is this behavior showing me? Because all behaviors are showing you something about you or the other person. So when a parent is into heart-powered, and heart-powered parents honor and love themselves, and therefore they show that love to their children, that's how their children learn to respect their feelings. And heart-powered parents, excuse me for mumbling on that one, set personal boundaries. They know that your space is your space and my space is my space. They allow themselves to release tension by crying, and they realizing that raising children can be one of the most difficult things at times. They play and they have fun, and they set time for themselves without their kids. And when their kids really need that attention, they give them full attention. And that means no TV, no emailing, no texting. They praise their kids often by saying, I love it when you make your bed that way, or when you finish your food, or whatever the situation is. So I'm wondering, what if parents became all heart-powered? Wouldn't that change pain? Wouldn't that change the fact that we wouldn't even have to allow it because it wouldn't exist? So when parents do that, feelings are allowed. And pain is a feeling, and it is very normal for kids, for adults, for all of us to feel emotional pain. Emotional pain is nothing more than being hurt that something hasn't happened the way we would like it to happen or turn out the way that we would like it to happen. And it's painful when we feel unsafe and unloved and when we don't know how to get it and when we believe that that's what life is all about, that there's always going to be pain, and that it's normal. Why, AA even has a saying, no pain, no gain. That's ridiculous. We can have a lot of gain. We don't have to produce pain. We're just so used to doing it. For a minute, think about the 6 or 7-year-old who returns home from school to an empty house. The latchkey kid. Now, that kid goes in, and that kid is looking to be protected in that home and safe. And very often, that 6 or 7-year-old is not safe in that home for a variety of reasons. Often, it's an older sibling that is picking on him or her. Sometimes it's not. But there is pain that is created. And then let's look at teens. Teens really try to fit in and to follow the crowd. And when they don't, very often they're bullied. And that creates pain. So I've gone over the emotional pain that we sometimes suffer as kids and as teens. how can that possibly fit into our adult lives? Well, if we don't allow that pain and process it and look at it and change it into safety by changing our minds, changing our thoughts, we're still going to have it. And we may pretend that it's not painful, but as wounded little boys and girls running corporations and churches and schools and countries and organizations, we're still going to feel it. And we are still going to be looking for approval. Now, what works when we're in pain? Addictions work. Initially, they truly sedate those feelings of unworthiness. And unworthiness is really a painful wound that tells me I'm not good enough. And you know what? That's bullcrap, because every single one of us on this planet is worth it. You're worth it. I'm worth it. We're all worth it because we are glorious, wonderful, divine beings in these human bodies. And we're here to remember that. We're here to remember that we are love. And that's really all we need, is love. We don't need the pain. But let's look at some other pains that we create, that are created as a result of the fact that we don't allow the real underlying pain of childhood that says, you're not good enough. Well, let's look at divorce. Divorce can be very painful. Yes, you can want that divorce, but there still is pain involved. And the underlying belief in a divorce is, I don't matter. I don't count. You're doing what you're doing because you want to get rid of me. Whether that's infidelity, having some sort of an affair, acting out in ways that are not honoring, it is showing you that you don't matter. Let's look at some other pains. I mentioned addictions. Addictions initially will sedate pain because they sedate the real feelings that are coming up in adulthood that have been buried from childhood. For example, let's look at the 6 or 7-year-old that I talked about that is the latchkey kid returning home looking for protection and really doesn't get the protection that he or she needs. Well, any kind of a drug addiction, any kind of an addiction, will sedate that feeling temporarily. Then, of course, it creates havoc within the person's body, within the person's relationship. And let's look at some other pains. Foreclosure. You don't have enough money to pay your house payment, so you're dumped out on the street. You're homeless. Your house is foreclosed. Or you lose your job. All of these are painful experiences. And if you had learned how to deal with pain, accept it, and admit that it was real when you were a kid, you would get through the job loss and the foreclosure and the divorce and the infidelity a lot easier. You would also get through the death of a loved one or being raped or almost being killed. But when we pretend that we have not had pain before, we're going to have a rough time in the death of a loved one, in a rape, in a foreclosure or a job loss or a divorce or an addiction. So bottom line, when we are kids, a lot of times we truly can tap into who we really are, and we intuitively tap into what we're feeling, even though some adult or a parent tells us that we shouldn't cry, or it's not that bad, or there's nothing to be afraid of. So when I say allow the pain, what I mean is allow it to surface and deal with it. If you don't deal with it when you're younger, it's going to come back a lot stronger when you're older. And those of you who are adults right now, who are in extreme pain, who are looking for an antidepressant or a drug to stop that pain, it's not your answer. Look at the message that you were given in childhood. If you were given the message, you're so stupid, you're never going to amount to anything, how does that apply to your life today when you lose your job and your house is in foreclosure? Or when your spouse tells you that he or she wants a divorce? How is that going to apply? It's all about the how. Well, I'm going to ask you again, what if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be? And I'd like to add, who you are refusing to be is the real you, because you can't be the real loving being that you are when you're messing yourself up and sedating yourself with any kind of an addiction. And you can find out more answers and reach me at beingrecovered.net, which you can find on your screen, and that is beingrecovered.net. JudeAlbright.com is still under construction, and I would love you to join my Facebook, which is facebook.com/loveyouraddiction. We are energetic beings. Our thoughts and emotions create energy. And as a group, we create the things that happen on this planet. Could all of us right now take this opportunity to be grateful for who we are and all the wonderful things that we have in our lives? And when we concentrate on that, we help erase some of the pain that might still be in our guts, in our bodies. What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and wrapped in your love, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful you. Excuse me. And please help make this world a better place with you in it. Yes, many of us grew up in unhappy homes where there was emotional pain. There might have been physical abuse. There was emotional abuse. There might have been sexual abuse. We might have had addictive parents or guardians. I'm not mentioning this to blame anybody. I am mentioning this so that you will look at your childhood beliefs and see if they're really real and pertinent to the adult that you are today. And if they are not, find a way. Find somebody to assist you in releasing those hurts by allowing your pain. When you recognize it and say, yeah, it's there, then you can let go of it. But if you pretend that it's not there, how can you let go of something that you're pretending is not there? Again, you can reach me at beingrecovered.net. This is Jude Albright, and I'm saying bye for now. Allow your pain to bring you to the present moment so that you can release it and not have to create it again. And yes, you heard me right. We create our pain. Somebody else doesn't create it for us. We create it. And it is being created to show us what we're not. It becomes a scar. And scars don't hurt. They're only there as reminders. And with that, I will say, bye.